Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Check in the Inbox, where we answer questions that you have sent in. And we have our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 69.
You did not.
Oh, come on, I had to. All right. It's episode 69. There's nothing special about episode 69, except for we're here together. Shauna, how are you?
Yay. I'm good. Good, good. So Cece is 9 months and 2 weeks, so I guess 9.5 months. And whoa, this was a big week for
really?
The baby. Really? Yeah. I guess I'm waiting for some kind of drum roll or something. I don't know. There we go. Okay. She took her first step, unassisted step.
Wow.
All by herself, just standing there like a tiny ass little human, balancing that little body on her tiny little feet. And then she goes, boop, and took a step. And then she promptly fell. But I was just like, what are you doing? I'm not ready to be mom to a toddler.
Oh, my gosh. How cute. Well, the good news is they're not fast at the beginning, right?
Very slow. Exactly. I won't be doing any chasing of the toddler quite yet.
That's so cute, though. Is that exciting? Were you proud?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, really, really proud. And, of course, was trying to catch it on video. And it's going to be, you know, the additional steps are going to come slowly. I remember this from with Elle. Just kind of like they test out that little first one, and then maybe the next day they'll do a couple, and it'll go from there. But I kind of expect her to be walking pretty well within the month, I would say.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I guess I shouldn't be too surprised, because that girl has always been so incredibly motivated to be physical. Mm-hmm. Even when she was like 3 months old, remember, she was like screaming to try to crawl. And it's just like, makes sense, I guess.
She was planking at 6 months. Planking.
Yes. Yes.
A thing that most full-grown adults can't do.
I know. She doesn't plank anymore, by the way. That was just such a transitional little thing she did before crawling. So she learned quickly that planks aren't fun.
Like you do. Oh, man. Anytime I'm at an exercise class and they're like, no, we're going to do planks. I want to die.
Oh, gosh. They're so bad. I haven't even been to an exercise class in forever. So that's the bonus of not exercising. But it's good for your abs.
It is.
The other huge thing this week, she said her first word.
What did she say?
She said, Mama!
Oh, that's so cute and heartwarming. Do you know, was it in, like, context? Did she say, like, Mama to you? Or was it continuing with the babbling? Or how'd that go?
So I have been trying to encourage her to say Mama. Mm-hmm. And I think she's starting to do the thing where she's really paying attention to what I'm saying and trying to mimic me. Mm-hmm. And it's not really even like she's babbling Mama, 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 Mama. That's not it. Like, I was like, Mama, Mama. And I picked her up from changing her diaper and started walking out of her room. And clear as day, she goes, Mama.
Oh, I was like, so cute.
Oh, so I'm so happy. I'm so happy that her first word was Mama. Elle's first word was Hi, which is also a good one. But,
that's,
you know,
really
it took her a while to say Mama. Yeah, so we're on that roller coaster of talking, too, I think. So it's exciting.
It's all happening fast. Yeah, my guy is babbling away, but nothing seems to be, like, sticking, you know, as far as it's just, like, all of the, you know, baba dada, you know, like, he does this thing where he's like, and I'm like, cat?
Cat!
And then you know, but he's just like, he also clicks his mouth, and he'll do that in response to you. So if you do it at him, he does it back to you, which is pretty cool. But like,
that is,
I'm like, is that considered a word? Like, there's Nkosa.
In some languages,
I was gonna say, like, is he speaking Nkosa from like South Africa?
Maybe.
But yeah, but nothing in context yet. So, but I have to say, I am dying for him to start communicating to me, because I think it will make life so much easier. Or maybe I'm just naive.
No, it does. It's really nice when they can communicate. And it's really fun how you learn their own little language and how they pronounce things. Mm-hmm. It's like, then you kind of feel like you have a secret language with your babies. Like, they're like, blah, blah, and you're like, oh, yes, here's your water. And everyone else is like, what? And you're like, no, I know that's what they're saying because they say it over and over every time that they point to their water. Yeah, so that's about it for me in our week. Big week. And I'm very excited and just so in love with that little baby. Yeah, so what about you guys? What have you been up to? How old's your baby?
My baby is 8 months and 3 weeks. And yeah, we've had a, you know, mixed bag kind of a week. So at the beginning of the week, we went to a children's museum for the first time. Do you know mm-hmm. about Kidspace Museum in Pasadena?
Oh, yeah. We love that. We got a membership there for a while.
It is super cool. It's a little too advanced for my baby at the moment, but I was meeting up with some friends who were meeting up with another friend who had a toddler. And so we got to get in for free, which was nice. Mm-hmm. And once he's like walking or at least cruising a little better, I think it's going to be an awesome place. It's this really cool children's museum, and they have this huge outdoor area with all these like water features and all this like outdoor climbing stuff. So it looks like it's going to be an awesome thing. It's so cool that it's nearby.
Mm-hmm. There's a baby room too. Did you see that?
We did go into the baby room, and the baby room was very fun. And since my guy is like army crawling, he was able to crawl around and check everything out and put everything in his mouth. And so we got hand, foot, and mouth.
Oh, no.
Like
you think you
do.
Got it from there?
There's no question in my mind. Because, you know, for the uninitiated, there is a disease that has the worst name, I think, of all the diseases. It's called hand, foot, and mouth. And it's because that's the locations where the babies get little, like, these little rashes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's super, super contagious, like insanely contagious. And pretty much every kid gets it at least once when mm-hmm. they're, you know, toddlers. Usually it happens in like daycare or preschool. Yeah. And so I think, you know, we were going around. He was touching all kinds of things, you know, right after all these other kids. Like, I think there's just no way he didn't get it there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But luckily it was really, really mild. Like, I wouldn't have known it was anything. Except for I saw, like, he had, like, 3 or 4 little blisters, basically.
Where?
One was on his palm. One was on the sole of his foot. And then he actually had a bunch on his, like, upper thighs, which I guess is actually pretty common. Like, when you start reading about it, they're like, it's called hand, foot, and mouth, but they could also get just rashes all over.
Okay.
So the real bummer there was he didn't really feel bad. He had, like, maybe a mild fever, like, I took his temperature once and it was like 99.1. And, you know, it's like, that's not really a fever, you mm-hmm. know? So he felt fine, but we couldn't infect anyone else. So we had to stay home for like 7 days until the rash was gone. They look like little pimples, the ones he got. Like some of them were just like really like little red bumps, but the ones on his hand and feet looked like little pimples. And mm-hmm. so until those were gone, we couldn't go to mommy and me class and couldn't, like, go to any other things where other kids were around. So it was pretty isolating.
Well, good for you for doing a good job of keeping the public safe.
Well, yeah, I don't want to be Typhoid Mary, you know? But I felt bad also because we had hung out with 2 of our baby friends 2 days before he started getting symptoms. Mm-hmm. And so I had to, like, message them and be like, hey, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, it looks like the baby got hand, foot, and mouth, and it's super contagious, and just wanted to let you know. And so they ended up staying home from mommy and me, too, because they were just out of an abundance of caution. And then I felt really bad. They ended up not getting any, like, rash or anything. So
good.
Yeah. But anyway, so that was, like, the first big contagious disease, you know, that we got. So
yeah, you guys sound like you got off really lucky. Elle got it when she was 1.5 years and had recently started daycare, and we ended up in the emergency room because we didn't know what was going on. Yeah, her fever was super high, like 104. She was so lethargic, just laying on the wood floor to cool off and not herself. And so I called urgent care, and they're like, when a baby that young has that high of fever plus that kind of lethargy, we just tell them to go straight to the ER.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh my God. So we had to go to Children's Hospital because I didn't see any bumps on her body. I had no clue.
Interesting.
Yeah, and they looked in her throat, and that's where all the blisters were in the back of her throat.
Poor baby. That must have hurt so bad.
Yeah, it was really awful. And, yeah, it was hard, too, because she was in daycare, and I was working at that time, and so you have to keep them home for however long. And so it can be rough or it can be mild, and I'm so glad that you guys got the mild version.
Yeah, and I know that you can get it more than once, I think, because there's different strains, I think. Because I feel like Jen's baby had it, like, 5 times or something
crazy.
Yeah,
no, I think he had it 3 times. Yeah, that sounds right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always exaggerate, but I knew he had it more than once.
He had it 272 times.
3,000 times. He's never gotten over it. But, you know, it's funny because my mommy and me teacher said that one of her classes, you know, years ago, one of the babies got hand, foot, and mouth, and the following week, everyone was out. Like, the entire class was taken out.
Oh,
it's that contagious.
No.
So
God, that's crazy. You know what always crosses my mind when I talk about hand, foot, and mouth is, why wasn't this a thing when we were young? I did not have this. I don't think my peers had this.
Are you sure it just wasn't? I mean, I don't know, but it seems to happen to really, really young kids. Like, it's probably before you remember.
Yeah, I guess. I just feel like I never heard of this in my life ever until I had a baby. And then I was like, oh, is this some, like, new thing that people get? I don't know.
It took me off guard. I think it's called Coxsackie virus.
Oh, Coxsackie virus. Okay. Coxsackie. Appropriate for our 69th episode.
So that was a little bit of a bummer. So we had a lot of time at home by ourselves to play. And the baby started doing this thing where I was a little concerned. I actually talked about this briefly in our bonus Halloween episode, which you can go listen to after you listen to this if you haven't already. But he started doing this thing where he's now pulling up to stand, right? So when he's standing, mostly, he would like hold one hand up and like flap his hand, like sort of like he's waving, but like opening and closing his fist, basically, and just like staring at it. He was doing this over and over and over. And at first I thought maybe he's waving at a ghost. I talk about that in the bonus episode. But then I started Googling it because I was like, this is so interesting. This is so weird. You know what happens when you Google things, Shauna?
Oh, you find the exact answer you want that just puts you at ease right away?
Yes. Yeah. It put me totally at ease. Uh-huh. No. You find out there's definitely something wrong with your child. And
oh, no.
No. So I Google this like 8-month-old opening and closing hand. And then it was just like autism, autism, autism.
Oh, my gosh. Not just waving. I mean, that's when babies learn to wave, isn't it?
So it's, I'm going to like spoiler alert. It's waving. It's like him learning how to use his hand. But there was about 2 hours where I was like in the Google rabbit hole where I was convinced that it was like repetitive stimming behavior, you know, the stimulus, like they call it stimming, right? And he also like flaps his arms, which I guess is a thing that older kids with autism tend to do, but babies also just flap their arms, I guess. Anyway, I Googled, felt bad, and then I Googled and felt better because, like, on Baby Center, basically, there's like a million posts of people being like, my baby is opening and closing his hand. Is this okay? Is it autism? And everyone's like, no, you're fine.
Uh-huh. Oh, so, good.
Yeah. But anyway, so that was, we had our little scare there. But I think he, you know, you don't get diagnosed with autism till much later anyway. And he doesn't have any other early warning signs. So, and you know what? If he has autism, he has autism, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's who he's going to be. And I will love him either way. So, yeah. But all signs point to it's just him figuring out how to use his hand or the ghost. I mean,
I'm going to go with ghost. Someone did die in your house. Spoiler alert if you haven't listened to the bonus episode.
I mean, you should listen to the bonus episode to find out what the hell we're talking about. But anyway, that was our week. Should we take a little break and come back with our special segment?
Let's do it.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and we're very excited about this segment, Check in the Inbox. We put a call out to all of you to send us your burning questions for us, and we got so many responses.
So many. So many.
Yes. So many that I think we have to break this up into a couple segments. Maybe we'll do another bonus episode with a bunch of other check in the inbox questions.
Yeah, we had way too many to fit into one episode, and we want to get to them, you know, sooner than we would be able to if we wait till we do the segment again. So we're going to do a bonus episode. So if you don't hear your question, you will hear them in the bonus episode. But Shauna, I think we should get to the first question since we have so many.
Yes, let's get to it. Our first question is a very popular question. This one got a lot of traction on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Casey asked, I've always wondered why y'all don't say your baby's names. I know you mentioned it was to protect them, but if you upload pictures of them on social media, what's the deal about not saying just their first name? Love the podcast. I listen every week and haven't missed a single episode.
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you for never missing an episode. That's awesome.
True. That's so awesome. And this is a great question. A lot of people wanted to know this.
Mm-hmm. It's a good question. Well, I actually thought a lot about this when we were about to have our babies because I was like, what are we going to do as far as privacy is concerned? And a lot of people just say their baby's names. And I think that's totally fine. A lot of celebrities just say, you know, say their baby's names. And I think for me, the main reason I wanted to keep my baby's name private is because it's a lot harder to Google later on, right? So if I were to say his name, let's say his name was like, August, right? Because August was the name I almost picked, right? So like if his name was August and someone was able to figure out my husband's last name, which is not very hard if you can Google, right? Mm-hmm. You Google my name, you can find it. Then you Google August, I'll just say, my husband's last name is Evett. There, see, you have it. So if you Google August Evett, let's say 16 years down the line, you know, one of his friends Googles his name and finds his mom talking about his poop, you know, or like how much he loves breastfeeding or something. I didn't want to do that to him. And while, you know, we post photos and, you know, we discussed whether we should post the photos, remember?
Mm-hmm.
We were like, is this safe?
And even still, I think that's an ongoing conversation as they get older.
It's for like, sure.
When or if are we going to stop that? I don't know.
Yeah. And also, you know, they can't consent to it right now. So I have a lot of mixed feelings about it. But I try to only post photos that are not embarrassing, don't like something that they wouldn't be embarrassed by later on in life. You know, mm-hmm. I have so many adorable photos of the babies in the bathtub, right? But I'm never going to post that on the internet. I don't post it anywhere on the internet, not even on my private account, because mm-hmm. I just don't want that to be out there. I just don't think it's fair to him. I wouldn't necessarily want that out there. So until he can consent to it, I'm not doing it. It sounds super hypocritical because I'm the person who's freaking putting my baby on Modern Family, right?
But,
you know, I don't think I would let him do something embarrassing. I don't think. Mm-hmm. We'll see. But anyway, back to the names. So for me, it's a Googling issue. And, you know, even though right now we don't have all episodes transcribed, we want to get all our episodes transcribed. And mm-hmm. so that would make, you know, it's super Googleable. So it's just like one little barrier of protection there. And also it's a way to keep private things private for me.
Yeah, the Googling thing definitely, especially because I've mentioned that my kids have pretty unique first names, especially mm-hmm. Cece. It's not even a name that I found in any name websites or anything. So that combined with her last name is such a unique phrase. And if we ever do or when we do transcribe our episodes or whatever may come, that would be a presence, her very first presence ever mm-hmm. online that someone could search for when she is looking for a job, when she's 18. I don't know.
No, that's true.
Like if she's looking for her first internship and they Google her name and all that comes up is just overwhelmed with stuff about her mom talking about her diaper rash.
Yeah, totally.
I want to give her the choice to – I want to try to give her the choice of what kind of presence she wants online.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, I mean, to us, I guess it seems really like a no-brainer, and I can see how it's also like super confusing to everyone else. So thank you for respecting our choice on this. And
yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention, because Casey mentioned we post pictures, is I don't think that pictures are Googleable in the way that names are. Like,
I mean,
when she's 19, you can't reverse image what she looks like now, and that's going to pull up pictures of her and connect her to the podcast as an infant, right?
I mean,
unless technology
yes
changes.
Yes and no. Like, yeah. Here's my thing. It's like, if anyone is motivated enough, they can find out anything about you. And in the future, you know, with all this facial recognition stuff, they might be able to reverse image to it. But in the vast, like, sea of information that's out there, it's not that, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Also, like, it's unlikely her first romantic partner is going to use that level of AI to discover that her mom had had a podcast and talked about her, like, constipation at some point or whatever. You know what I mean? So I think that, at least for now, that's where I feel like it's a safety line that's okay. But, yeah. And, you know, we want to share cute pictures of the babies as much as possible.
I know. They're so sweet.
I know. Especially when they're together.
Yeah. So sweet. Anyway, should we move on to the next question?
Yeah. So that was a great question. We have an audio question for the next one.
All right.
So I'm going to play it for us.
Hi, Shauna and Laura. This is Maria from Austin, Texas. And my daughter is 2 weeks old. And she stays awake all night and sleeps all day. And I just wanted to see if you guys had any tips or tricks for getting her to sleep more at night, or just advice for getting through these first couple of weeks. Thanks, guys.
Great question. I remember those days.
Yes. Whoa. What a doozy those first few weeks when the baby's circadian rhythm isn't in sync yet. That's so tough. But I remember a tip that I learned that I tried to use is that when they're awake during the day, really try to, like, open up those windows, turn on the lights, as much, like, light you can give them so that they start to learn that daytime is wake-up time and nighttime is sleeping time.
Get outside.
That helped. Get outside with the baby during the day.
I've heard that even during naps in that early newborn phase, you don't have to worry about a dark room for naps in the newborn phase. Yeah, you want to keep it as bright as possible. I was told, you know, when you wake up in the morning, open up those shades, make it nice and bright. And it's hard when it's, like, you know, 5 in the morning or whatever sometimes. But But yeah, I think that you're trying to get their brains to release melatonin at the right time, basically, and light is what helps do that. So
yeah, I feel like my baby grew out of that after a few weeks, maybe like 3 weeks or so. I feel like Maria's almost out of the trenches here with this one.
Yeah, I think it can go on longer if you aren't, like, exposing the baby to light at the right time. So I think you can reverse it. So, like, they call it, what do they call it? You're having your days and nights reversed, I think, is what they call it. So, you know, get that baby in light, get him outdoors in light if you can as much as possible. And you know what's interesting? I read this book called Internal Time a couple years ago, and it was about chronotypes. It's not to get too deep in the weeds on it, but it's about whether you're basically a morning person or a night person, right? But there's a lot of good tips in there about, as an adult human, like, how to get the best sleep. And one of the things they say is one of the ways to get a better night's sleep is to get as much bright outdoor sunshine as possible before 10 a.m.
Oh, 10 a.m., huh?
I know, which is early, right? Because, I mean, we're all up before 10 a.m., but, like, for me, I'm usually just, like, putting around the living room and, you know.
Yeah, I don't go outside before 10 very often.
So if you're having trouble sleeping at night, that's apparently a really big key. And being
helpful
behind a window does not count. You have to go out into the UV rays. So I think it same holds for the baby. Obviously, don't put the baby in the direct sunshine, right? But, you know, bright lights. So that's the best tip we have.
And then you also asked about tips for just surviving this part of the babyhood. And I would say, if your partner can help out at night in any way, that saved me. Steve would take, you know, a feeding, I would pump and have a bottle of milk. So I could sleep ostensibly 4 to 6 hours straight and not have to be up with her constantly. Even if I had to go another room to get those Z's, that was really helpful.
Yeah, for me, what we did was when I would wake up in the middle of the night for nursing, which was like endless, right? Corey would do the diaper changes.
Oh,
so,
good.
And that was good. And then he would also take the first feed of the day. And we still do this. So I'm the one who does like the dream feed, and I'll get up with him in the middle of the night if necessary. But then Corey's the one who wakes up first thing and does like a pumped bottle in the morning. And that helps me just get like a little bit extra sleep. I think this started like when the baby was like 10 days old. And I think Corey came in at some point and, you know, he was still in the room. The baby was still in the room with me, obviously. And he was crying. And Corey had been up and like drinking coffee and came in, and I was like crying. And I was like, I just need a couple hours of sleep. And he was like, yeah, let me take that baby from you.
Yes, we all reach our breaking point. I was ordered by the pediatrician to have Steve take some so that I could get extra sleep. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Nobody wins when you martyr yourself. So get that help. That's a great point.
Good question, Maria. Thank you. And congratulations on your two-week-old. We're so excited for you.
Oh, they're so squishy. Mm. Okay, so our next question is from Whitney. Whitney asks, how is going from purees to finger food? We are just starting to mix textures into purees and interested to hear how and when you guys moved on to the next stage. Shauna?
Well, I did not have very much strategy. At some point, I think she was around 7 months, I was just like, here, have some puffs. And she ate them. And we just slowly started giving her like little chunks of food that I thought she could tolerate. So I don't know that I had too much of like a strategy or method with this. What about you?
Actually, this was going to be part of my check-in, but since I knew I would be answering this question, I held on to it. So we are actually full steam ahead right now in the finger food transition. I think it's like we're basically sort of past tense with it. So what I started doing a couple weeks ago was instead of like a very finely blended puree, like in a, you know, I was using this little like ninja blender thing that I had to puree all of his foods because I'm that annoying person who was making all of his foods. So I was pureeing them, you know, maybe adding like breast milk if it was something that was like needed milk, like, you know, butternut squash, or adding water to it to make it like nice and thin. So first I started like taking away that extra liquid, right? So making it a little bit thicker, but still very smoothly pureed. And then what I started doing was instead of making totally smooth purees, I started like making them a little chunkier. So one of like the easiest things to do this with are peaches. So what I would actually do is I would like roughly chop up peaches. And I'd put them in, I have this like little mash and serve bowl. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
It's a little, I think it's made by Munchkin. I'm not 100% sure, but it's a little silicone bowl. And on one side, you know, it's like sort of split in half, like the moon, you know, half of it's smooth and the other half has ridges. And it's, you get it with this masher, like almost like a potato masher, right? And so you can put stuff in that bowl and just use the masher to mash it up to create like thicker purees.
Oh, okay.
So what I would do is I would take like peaches. If they were really soft, I would just mash them up. If they weren't, I would like microwave them for 15 seconds till they were like softer. And then I'd mash them up, but I wouldn't do a really good job of it. So there would be like chunks, but you know, little, you know, quarter inch or smaller chunks. And they're already soft, you know, with soft stuff. And so I started doing that. And he took to it so well that I just made things thicker and thicker, basically. Not a choking hazard. You should know that, like, peanut butter is a choking hazard, right? So, like, you don't want to get that thick. But then I think it was over at your house, Shauna, and you were like, does he want some puffs? And I was like, he's never had a puff. And you're like, here, have some puffs. threw some puffs his way, and he was super into it. So I was like, well, shoot. I think it's finger food time, so.
Another favorite is cereal. Like,
Cheerios.
Another favorite is Cheerios. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Cheerios are good. My mommy and me teacher gave us a good tip, which was instead of having to buy those puffs or Cheerios, there's this type of wheat. I think it's called Kamut. It's spelled K-A-M-U-T. I don't know how to pronounce it. Kamut. But it's a specific type of wheat, and it's just puffed wheat. So it's 100% whole grain, and it's like a natural puff, but it doesn't have like the rice flour in it, which, you know, those like Gerber puffs have, which can be kind of constipating. So we started buying those, and they're like $3 for a giant bag. So
where are you supposed to find Kamut puffs? I've never heard of this.
They are easily found. I never noticed them before, but I got mine at Whole Foods, actually. I think they're at a lot of like health food style stores, but they're just in the cereal aisle. Oh, they're just like with like just look for them in like the more natural, like the stuff you look over because you're like, that's too healthy.
That looks boring. That has no sugar.
Exactly. Where's my Frosted Flakes?
Give me my Lucky Charms.
So, but we've been using those, so that's good. And yeah, so we're just going full steam ahead, and he's loving practicing his pincher grasp. He's still not, like, he's got, like, maybe his index and middle fingers, and sometimes the ring comes in together. He's, you know, this is another thing that's great about the finger foods is that they get to practice that pincher grasp. So he's really working on it, and yeah, it's been fun. The only thing is you have to like watch them like a hawk at the beginning for gagging and choking and stuff. So,
oh yeah, my girl has a massive gag reflex.
Oh
yeah, so she like if she doesn't like something or it's like it takes a bite that's a little bit too big, she'll gag and throw up, and so.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
But, you know, I read somewhere that you should reframe the gagging as good because that's them teaching themselves how to eat. Like, gagging and choking are not the same thing.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I actually saw on Instagram there are videos where people, like, who do baby-led weaning show you the difference between gagging and choking. So it's actually kind of interesting to watch.
That's helpful, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the gagging can be kind of scary, so. But yeah, we're really enjoying the going to finger foods, you know. It opens up a whole new world of what you can give your baby. You know, like when we're out to lunch now, I just sort of like, if there's something that's soft enough and small enough or something I can break down, I just give it to him and he loves it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Okay, do we have another question?
We have another great question from Janie, and it's an audio question. Laura, you want to play that one?
Yep, here it is.
Hi, Laura. Hi, Shauna. My name's Janie, and I'm a listener from the UK. I love the show, and I have a question for you. My question would be, how do you feel that your relationship with your husband has changed since you've had a baby or babies? Thanks, guys. Bye.
First of all, I love her voice. Janie.
Yeah. Hi, Janie.
Hi, Janie.
Thank you so much for sending that to us. So I would say that I think it has changed our relationship in a lot of complex ways that maybe I haven't even realized or explored yet. But if I were to name like the most obvious ways that it's changed our relationship, first, it's that I think it's strengthened our relationship. Like, moving from a couple to a family is huge. Like, that level of responsibility of taking care of a small person that you love so much has bonded us closer than we have ever been. And, of course, now that we have a second one, it's even more so. And then in other ways, it's, you know, it's a little bit taxing because we don't really go out and do fun, like, date couple things as much as we used to. And so that's really hard. It's not that easy to find a babysitter for two kids. And, you know, the money, we're putting so much money towards daycare and stuff. So finding the opportunities for us to connect as like a couple in that way is more challenging now, for sure. Have you guys experienced anything like that yet, Laura? Or how has it been for you guys?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, for us, it's a little different because, first of all, we're much newer to the process. We're about 8 months in. You guys are, you know, almost 4 years in, right? Mm-hmm. With your first child. So I have to say, you know, when you were talking, I actually felt like my experience has been very similar in a lot of ways. Like the thing that I was most pleased by and sort of surprised by is how it's made us a team, you know, and made us really, you know, we're really working towards the same goal. And I have to attribute a lot of that to the fact that we both are, you know, good communicators and we have a healthy relationship to begin with, which I think was very important. You know, I know that it's not always the case that a baby arrives and you feel like you're on the same team as your husband. And that's also very normal. And like, don't feel like just because Shauna and I are both like, we love our husbands, they're the best. You know what I mean? Like, it's normal to have conflict and everyone has conflict, of course. But the overwhelming thing for me has just been like how much he's stepped up and how like cool that is. Like, I have to say, like, it's like there's nothing sexier than like seeing your husband take care of a small baby and like be super into it. You know what I mean?
Aww,
like,
that's awesome.
You're just like, ah, this is how you end up with a second kid, I guess.
yes, exactly.
But yeah, just like the logistics of like doing stuff together that's not taking care of the baby, it's super hard. And, you know, we've been lucky that my mom has come visit and sort of forced us to get out the door. So that's been good. And like you said, it's a lot easier to get a babysitter for one kid. So, you know, that's been good. I think the main thing we miss is sort of our spontaneous, like, let's go to the movies. We used to do that a lot, you know,
yes.
And we'd go to the movies and then we talk about the movie for hours. And now it's just like, that doesn't happen, you know?
I know. I mean, thank goodness for Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and all these things that stream shows and entertainment now. We just have that at our fingertips so we can be together and watch things and connect through entertainment in that way. Because otherwise, we would not be getting out of the house to go see movies right
it's,
now. Later, when the kids are older, But
yeah.
It's so tough.
Yeah, but I mean, I have to say that, you know, people definitely scared me a bit about, like, what's going to happen. You know, the culture sucks about this, right? The culture is all, like, pitting husbands and wives against each other. And this is to say, like, this is generally in, you know, heterosexual, cisgender relationships, right? But there's not a lot of discussion, I guess, about different family types. But when it comes to, like, a straight couple with a man and a woman, the culture is so built up about, like, how you're going to hate each other, right?
Well, all the sitcoms of the 80s and 90s are like that, Married with Children, and, I mean, just all these things. That's the archetype I grew up with seeing, is like,
for
bicker.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
exactly.
It has been a nice surprise for me, too, in that way.
Yeah, and, you know, it helps to have a husband who's, like, a mature adult who's willing to, like, you know, step up and do what needs to be done to help take care of the baby. So, but yeah, no, I've been very pleasantly surprised. And yeah, the relationships changed. But I also realized I was scared of change for a long time. And then I realized, like, what is life except for change? Like, the nature of life is constant change. So if we can sort of grow and change together, like, that's all I could hope for.
Yes, definitely. And as someone who's been with her husband for 17 years now, including the time we dated, we've been through so many, like, changes and phases that I feel like we're almost different people than we were when we started dating. We've changed together so much. And it is cool. It's a cool ride to go on with someone and build a life together and change and see each other in new ways.
Yeah.
Seeing him love a tiny little baby girl is just, oh my God, it's heart melting and makes me love him even deeper. Even though, like, when we do go out, most of our conversations are about our damn kids, or we
100%.
Sit and look at pictures of them on the phone.
100%.
So that's changed, too. We don't talk about filmmaking and writing as much as we used to.
They say couples should have shared interests, right? Like, kids count. Your kids count.
Exactly. First it was dogs. Now it's kids.
Anyway, these questions have been great. We have so many more, but we don't have time to get to them right now. But we will get to them in the bonus episode. And yeah, should we take a break so that we can wrap this episode up and go spend some time with our husbands?
Let's do it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. And we're back. So we close every episode with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I have a BFP.
Yay.
Yay. And it's the cooler weather that we've been having lately in Los Angeles.
Yes. Oh, fall is here.
Yes, it's been like in the 70s, I want to say, which is such a nice break from the 90s and scratching the hundreds we've had all summer.
Yep.
And you know, I like to get outside and get some sunshine with the baby. And when it's hot, I have been doing it. But
well, good
it's
for
so
you.
Lame. I walk her down. We're a few blocks away from like a shopping center with a grocery store and, you know, Home Goods and all.
I love that shopping center. There's everything. I just need to stop. There is everything you need in that shopping center. I'm so jealous that you live so close to that shopping center.
I know. It's really good.
Anyway,
it's really good.
It's a side. Go
it's
on.
It's like a 5-minute walk. So, you know, because of like the way like the buildings are set, the strip mall creates a bit of shade. I'm not within walking distance of a park, right? So I'm walking distance to a goddamn strip mall. So on these hotter days, like around 5 o'clock, we walk down there and I just walk her up and down and around and up and down the storefronts of this strip mall so we can walk somewhere outside.
Is there anything more American?
I don't think so. I think that I've won the prize for that one. But anyway, so the cooler weather means, you know, I can walk around the neighborhood. I don't have to worry about the glaring sun searing me. I can walk around the neighborhood and the houses and just get a little shade from the trees and
feel
the breeze and the clouds. And so we've really been enjoying that.
We have been enjoying that as well. And, you know, we live on a hill, so the reason why I'm like, I can't go out in the heat is because I either have to, always have to go up a fucking hill at the end of my walk, and I'm pushing a stroller, and inevitably I've like decided to go run an errand on my walk. So I'm like pushing a stroller full of like groceries or something that are like starting to melt. And then I'm just like, actually my baby like laughs at me now when I'm pushing him up the hill because he thinks it's really funny. But yeah, so you can't do that in the heat. But this cool weather has been so nice.
So nice.
May it last forever. It's not going to. It's going to last like a week. I just jinxed it, didn't I?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. October always comes back and bites us in the ass in LA. It's like, oh, you enjoyed September? Well, fuck you. Here's October.
You thought it was fall. You were wrong.
Yeah, exactly. What about you? What, do you have a BFP or BFN?
I have a BFP.
Oh.
So mine is a photo flip book that I got from Walgreens.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. What is that? Tell me about it. So cool.
Okay. So I have noticed that my baby really likes looking at, like, the framed family photos that we have around. Like, every time we walked by them, he would want to stop, and I'd, like, point out, you know, there's grandpapa, there's grandma, you know, all that stuff. And he was really into them, and he wanted to, like, grab them, but, you know, they're glass, and you can't do that. And then I realized I need to make him a little photo book. And I looked online, and, like, there are all these services that will charge you, like, $35 to, like, make a custom board book or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can't do that. And then I realized that Walgreens, and, you know, which is a drugstore in our area, I think it's a national chain, but Walgreens, I think pretty much any drugstore probably does this at this point. They do these things where you can pick 25 photos, and they just basically print 4x6s of the, you know, 4-inch by 6-inch for our international listeners. Mm-hmm. And then they spiral bound them with a little cover. And it's like a little photo flip book, and it's literally $6. And there's always a 50% coupon you can get. Like, always, always, always. And it was done in 10 minutes. Like, I did it on my phone while he was nursing, sent it. 10 minutes later, it was like, your photo flipbook is ready to pick up. So it's great because you can make a million of them and they can eat them. I mean, who knows if the ink is safe or whatever. But you know what I mean? Like, it's not a big deal if they destroy them. Yes, so we've been really enjoying it. Yeah. And they like, you know, he can sort of flip them himself. He's not really good at being intentional with it, but he can roughly do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's fun. He gets to see all the people he loves.
I have an important question.
Yeah.
Did I make an appearance in the Favorite People flip book?
Shauna, you made two appearances.
Yes!
In the Favorite People flip book. Yes! You and Cece are in one photo, and then you and Steve from your baby shower are in another one, because I needed to get Steve in there.
Yeah.
Aww, and I didn't have another picture of Steve. So, yeah. So you guys are in there. All of his most important people are in there. So it's awesome. And he loves it. He gets really excited to look at it. So, yeah.
That's so cute. I want to get one for sure.
You should. Well, I think that's it for today.
Yeah. Thank you guys all so much for reaching out with your questions. They're so wonderful. And again, we'll answer the rest of the questions in a bonus episode coming out soon. So be sure to stay tuned. And I guess if anyone else has questions that you want to sneak in before we do that bonus episode, reach out. Laura, where can people reach us?
Okay, so we love to hear your voice memos. So you can email those to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. And then we are available on all of our normal social channels at BFP Podcast. That's Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We also have a Facebook community group. Just search for Big Fat Positive Community, and I will add you to our closed group. It's an awesome community. I love it. And then we also have our website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com.
Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.